Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Wednesday. It's actually a great Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We have Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Insider and Analyst. He is in Chicago for Cubs, White Sox, the Chris Sale disaster, and the trade deadline with the Diamondbacks and other teams. So a lot of baseball with Pedro Gomez. Michael Fabiano returns. We have not had Michael on yet. Saving him at the end of the month. NFL Network senior fantasy analyst. Of course, the Hall of Fame fantasy football player. 70 million Americans are going to play fantasy football in some way, shape, or form this year. Thus, Michael is the guy for all those fans. Your questions, your ideas, your thoughts, you can shoot questions over to me, brad@sports360az.com. So Michael Fabiano, that comes up here in about 40 minutes. Amari yesterday retired as a Knick. So I want to start there on the show today. Amari tweeted out, once a Knick, always a Knick. He signed a one-day contract. And so that was the story that it happened yesterday afternoon. I immediately started getting these fans. I can't believe that he's disrespecting the Suns. I cannot believe that he is not giving Phoenix love. He's a Sun. Yeah, he is. However, didn't end well. No matter how people want to try to spin it and sugarcoat it, do you remember the day where Amari was going to go to Golden State for Steph Curry? Do you remember the day where LeBron was going to go to Cleveland for a package of players? Do you remember the day where the Suns weren't really that supportive of Amari behind the scenes? That time. Do you remember those days?
I do. But I also remember the other famous Arizona athletes who left on bad terms and reconnected.
Luis.
Randy Johnson.
I would say, but see, here's the thing. Okay. Yeah, Randy, it took Derek Hall building that. You're right. But Randy wasn't as loved as Luis.
No.
Okay,
no.
And I'm right on that.
You were, yes, you're definitely right.
So when Luis goes to the Dodgers.
Of all teams,
come on, right?
I was a little butthurt by Amari. Because,
get out of here.
Oh,
seriously?
But he was.
You're too sensitive.
He was drafted and sculpted and built in Phoenix.
You and I were together.
Yeah.
You and I were together day after the draft.
I remember him in a newsroom sitting there. Wide-eyed, what, a 19-year-old kid? Nobody knew anything about this guy, and then they get to Vegas, and he's dunking on people. Oh, wow, maybe this kid's going to be okay if he gets a jump shot. 2 years later, he gets a jump shot, and poof.
So Eric and I we're doing our show over at KTAR, and this is when KTAR was KTAR. And I called the Suns and said, we'd like to have Amari in studio, and Julie Fye arranged for it. So it's the day after the Suns draft this kid. And Amari is, like Eric said, he's sitting in the newsroom. And I'll never forget when he walked into the studio, because I'm 6'8", right? Except I'm a little hefty now. He's walked in. He was 6'10", and just a beanpole. Like, what are they thinking? This kid's going to get killed out there. And the next thing I know, we do a half hour of a back and forth. Do you remember that?
I do.
When I'm asking him about, okay, you came from some tough stuff, and he's not.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, right. He had bounced around to the schools. Dad, where's mom? I mean, there was all this stuff. And there are so many Amari stories. When the Suns played the Spurs, and it was the series. It wasn't the Nash. It was another playoff series. I don't recall the year, but it was.
I believe it was 2005.
The first time around.
I believe it.
Okay, and Nash is standing over on the side with a writer from the New York Times, myself, and wasn't anybody from the Republic. I don't remember seeing Paul there, or Dan there, or even Lee Schappel. And I'll never forget how Steve was having problems with Amari. Amari just wasn't. He's wanted to do his own thing. He's a wild Bronco. And Nash has this, he has the towel around his neck and he's holding on to it. That's what the signature Nash move. And he just kind of looks around and says, I'm just tired of going into the playpen with these guys. It was one of the greatest quotes ever, ever. And I'm doing the TV thing and I go back and I call the station. I said, look, I've got some stuff from Nash on just the depth of what he wants to see out of Amari. And this is when they had us do, like, I don't know how many shows a day we were doing. We need you on the morning show for four hits. We need you on the afternoon. It's fine. That's what happens when you go. But that playpen quote stuck with me forever. And some charity stuff that I did that Amari showed up for and did some things that were not announced, that were given to me to give to the right people in terms of money, that were not announced, that he said to me, don't let anybody know. Just make sure it gets the right people.
Okay? Amari was always easy to root for.
Yes.
He had his moments, but every pro athlete does have their moments.
When he got suspended, okay, yeah. In the Spurs series?
Sure.
So he gets suspended. I'm live on the floor in San Antonio that night. And he knows he's screwed up. And the Suns know they're screwed. And Amari walks out. And I see him and I said, hey, can I have you come over here? Sure. He stands there. And the way it works in television, there's like five of us standing there holding microphones for the same deal. Let's go to Bruce Cooper, who's down in San Antonio. Let's go to Brad Sussmat. Let's go to Craig Fooey. Let's go to Jude LaCava.
You're pigeoned all over a basketball court.
And we're just all standing like 3 feet apart from each other.
Yep.
So Amari comes out. And fortunately for me, it was I came on before the others. It was just the timing of the show. So I'm standing by to do it. And the other guys are saying, hey, Amari. And he said, yes, 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 and yes. So think of it this way. We crave for athletes to hold themselves accountable, okay? And not just do, here's some PR speak, here's some talking points, let's go do market research. All the nonsense that goes on nowadays where you look at a lot of things and just say, this isn't coming from the guy, this is coming from people spinning it for the guy.
And a Valley athlete did hold himself accountable last night on social media. We'll get to that later in the show.
Yeah, you're right.
Hashtag tease.
Yeah, so Amari does his thing. And does the interviews with all of us in San Antonio. The next game was back in Phoenix, and Amari finds out he gets suspended. And Amari can't even be in the building, so I go to a side door by their cars where I know he's got to go through to get out. And he sees me walking down the hallway, and I've had guys that have turned and walked the other way. That's happened. And he walks right up to me, and he says, what do you need? I said, I need a minute and a half with you. And right there, we banged it out, and it was him. Very, very, he was almost in tears that he had let his team down. And I'll never forget stuff like that. It's little things because the dunks and the amazing plays are what turns fans on, understood, and gets this team to a level that they've not even come close to ever since. But when an athlete, when somebody, it doesn't even matter if it's an athlete, when somebody, if I screw up, I got to go apologize. I have to. I think for most of you, that's just how we were raised, right? When you screw up, it's not that person's fault. It's not that person's fault. And I'm thinking, here's a kid that has every reason to not hold himself accountable because he had nobody in his life other than a basketball and this AAU coach and this club coach. And he's just been a piece out there. And he's turned out great. He's turned out great. I mean, the wine baths, it's fine. I think that's kind of funny that he does that. So I have nothing but respect and admiration for Amari Stoudemire. And I thought yesterday was just uncalled for to pound on Amari because he's not retiring a Son. Who cares? Things didn't go well behind the scenes. You're going to say, well, he didn't retire as a Son. At some point, the Suns will figure it out and try to put him in the Ring of Honor. At some point, the Suns will hire some people that could go to Amari and say, what do we need to do to fix this? And I think he's a grown enough man that he would say, I need this happen and that to happen. So I was kind of pissed last night that people were just banging on this kid. But I did see Bourne, and it was really good. We'll talk about that later. I actually took Jared with me. And I bring Jared in on this one too. Up next, Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Insider. He's having a good time. He's in Chicago. So he could be doing Lou's. He could be doing Geno's. He's got Chris Sale on one side of the street. And on the other side of the street, he's got Aroldis Chapman coming in. He's got the Cubs struggling. He's got the trade deadline. Life's good for Pedro Gomez. That's all next. We'll talk some Diamondbacks, too, with him. Stay with us.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ. It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sesmat.
Pedro joins us from Chicago, where there's absolutely nothing going on. Chapman trade, Chris Sale with scissors, Lollapalooza. I'm actually driving to Chicago after the show with my daughter, taking her back to college. So somewhere around Amarillo, I might see you fly over me. We also have a baseball team here that reportedly was considering firing their manager last week. So let's start there, and I'll get to all the bigger stuff. But did the Diamondbacks come close to pulling the plug on Chip Hale last week, Pedro?
Well, there's a faction in the front office that probably is ready to do it. And my understanding is that, La Russa is the one kind of holding things as is right now. But the way the club has been playing now for pretty much a month gives you an indication that things may very well change. And it may come within hours, days, anything like that. Because when you win five of your last 24 games, that's an indication of a team that is just kind of rolling over. And, they've been outscored by 70 runs in that span. They've allowed 167 and they've scored 97. And that's another indication that things are just, they're sideways. They're sideways with the Diamondbacks. And, it's one thing if you're losing, but you're being competitive, but they're losing and giving up double-digit runs or close to double-digit runs. And that's, I saw Tony La Russa's interview with Jody Jackson, and I thought that was incredibly revealing if you just kind of read between the lines.
Yep.
Because Tony was basically saying that, if a club's not competitive, that's when you see danger. And the club is just not competitive.
Okay, so what you just said there, I have to think that it's Dave Stewart that thinks it's time to pull the plug if La Russa is the one that's holding off, because Derek's not here right now. Or is it Ken Kendrick saying, I want to pull the plug? And is it Dave and Tony saying, Ken, don't pull the plug? Can you fill me in on that, can you not fill me in on that?
I think that you're probably pretty accurate with your first assessment there. It probably is more Dave Stewart. And, Tony La Russa's legacy and his name are cemented in baseball history forever. This is really where Dave Stewart, the front office executive, is making his name. And right now, that name is not viewed very positively.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's his reputation that's on the line, not La Russa's. La Russa's reputation is going to be fine. Even if this club doesn't do anything, La Russa doesn't have anything to worry about on that front. So, it's not, things are not good inside that clubhouse. When we spoke about this about 3 or 4 weeks ago
at the All-Star break,
it wasn't what it is now.
Okay.
This is a club that now has, gone to Cincinnati, got their butts kicked, went to Milwaukee, got their butts kicked. They're not being competitive. And that's something that Tony La Russa, I've known him for 25 years. That's the one thing that he cannot put up with. And really, if there is a split in the front office and the club is not being competitive, well, La Russa's argument doesn't have much to stand on.
Okay, so there's been this faction of fans that have always felt like Tony could go back downstairs and put the uniform on. And I'm with you on that. Okay, so if you pull the plug, Matt Williams did not have great success in Washington. Phil Nevin is within the organization. What would they do at this point in the season if they pulled the plug on Chip?
Like you said, Phil Nevin, Nevin is in the organization. You saw the San Diego Padres last year when they fired Buddy Black. They went to AAA and put Pat Murphy in the rest of the season.
Right.
So obviously Phil Nevin could do something similar and could work his way toward being named permanent manager for next season. I think a name that's also out there that may be overlooked a little bit, and he's certainly not going to come without some controversy from certain factions, is Mark Grace. I know that he was on track to probably become the manager at some point, but then had his personal issues, and that all got sidetracked. He has worked his way back into good graces, and that, you know, it would probably be less of a chance, but I think that there is a chance that Mark Grace could land in that office.
And that would be a PR coup for out here. I mean, that'd be a way to get out of this present situation because he's beloved. I think Matt, because he didn't have success in Washington, would not be as warmly received. I like Matt a lot personally, but that's the facts is what happened in D.C. So am I wrong on Matt?
No, I don't think so. I think that that would probably be viewed as, okay, now what? Because it's not really changing anything. Phil Nevin, I know that he doesn't have a history in Arizona. He's been received very well as a manager in the minor league level, and you know that could certainly be a move also. But again, it's not going to come with a lot of celebratory response because people in Arizona just don't know who Phil Nevin is, and you don't have to know somebody to be successful. That certainly is not a prerequisite. But, you know, this club is really hurting at the gate. It's hurting nationally. It's hurting locally. And, you know, we talked about this earlier in the season. Apathy is the worst thing that any sports franchise can endure. And apathy is what has enveloped the Diamondbacks.
One other question about the managerial thing. And we're talking with Pedro Gomez every week, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, ESPN Baseball Insider, Pedro Gomez in Chicago. If you hire Nevin, aren't Grace and Matt Williams saying, I'm out of here? I got passed over again. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I do know what you mean by that. And certainly that possibility does exist. Listen, that's why Pat Murphy is not in the Padres organization and why he's with the Brewers now. Because he did get passed over the winter, on the winter, and you know they brought in Andy Green. So yeah, that possibility does exist. I think in Grace's case, probably less so because the organization stuck with him during his
issues,
difficult times.
Yep.
And I think that he would repay them by saying, "Okay, I'm willing to continue to be patient and wait." And plus, where would Mark Grace go?
That's true.
It's not like the Cubs would say, hey, come over here. Yeah. They've had that opportunity and haven't taken it. And that's, you know, where he built his name.
The you're in Chicago, and so Chris Sale, you've seen lots of stuff. And this goes under the category of just when you think you've seen it all, as the story was breaking Saturday. What do you take away from that story yourself?
Well, there's more to it than just the uniforms. I think that it's not a closely held secret that Chris Sale and team president, former general manager Kenny Williams, don't get along very well. They'll speak to each other. They'll have conversations, but there's not a lot of love between the two of them. I think also you saw that during spring training when the whole Adam LaRoche with his son Drake, all of that was going on. Chris Sale was the most vocal player in the clubhouse, and one of the points he made back then in March over at Camelback Ranch was he didn't think that manager Robin Ventura was backing up the players enough. And now this week, last week I should say, when all this happened with Chris Sale, again he kind of threw Robin Ventura under the bus. So you know, you just look at it from the outside and you can kind of tell that, okay, there's an issue there with Chris Sale and Robin Ventura. And, you know, Chris Sale has risen to the point where he's the most important player in that organization. He carries weight. And I think he's expressing that, you know, there's some dissatisfaction with management and front office and the players.
Aroldis Chapman comes in with the Cubs. And does this instantaneously, in your mind, make them the team to beat in the National League?
Boy, it's hard to argue that because all of a sudden their bullpen becomes so much better because one of the issues the Cubs had was more the seventh inning issue. Mm-hmm. But now with Rondon sliding from ninth inning to eighth inning and with Pedro Strop sliding from eighth inning to seventh inning, well, it kind of is a domino effect that takes care of middle relief and strengthens the back end of the bullpen like no other move could have this season. It does make you scratch your head, though, in terms of like Washington, who we know that Dusty Baker has a great relationship with Aroldis Chapman dating back to their days with the Reds together. And, you know, he would have loved to have had Chapman, but the front office wasn't willing to part with prospects. And you saw Theo Epstein when they made the deal saying, if not now, when? So there's a lot of people in baseball kind of scratching their heads over a lot of clubs saying, we are not giving up prospects for rental players anymore. And, you know, you saw with the Kansas City Royals a year ago, they gave up three pretty darn good prospects to Cincinnati in order to get Johnny Cueto. And look what the payoff was. It's a ring.
Right.
And you've got to think that Washington right now has slid backwards because they weren't willing to give up some prospects to get a guy like Aroldis Chapman.
Last question before I let you go. We're talking with Pedro Gomez in Chicago. The deadline is this week. Let's just start with the Diamondbacks. House cleaning, what gets moved from Arizona, and the biggest name or two nationally that you think gets moved by the deadline?
Biggest names nationally, I think, will be probably guys like Carlos Beltran, Andrew Miller with the Yankees, even though the Yankees have started winning again, but they've already started down this path, and I think Brian Cashman has enough juice to say, no, we need to continue down this path. You could see a guy like Chris Archer if the deal is strong enough, but it's got to be a big package for Tampa Bay to move a guy like Chris Archer. Locally, I still think it's not going to be a major overhaul. I think the names that you'll see are guys like Daniel Hudson, Tyler Clippard, but I don't see a major, major overhaul. I think that, you know, they want to see what this club can do when fully healthy, and that entails having A.J. Pollock back.
Is there a market for Tomas, by the way?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I mean,
not at the price the Diamondbacks would be asking.
Yeah, you know? I mean, that deal right now looks awful.
Well, and the Red Sox had a similar deal with Rusney Castillo, where they paid him actually a little bit more, $72 million.
Mm-hmm.
And they put him on waivers. Nobody claimed him. And now he's at AAA Pawtucket, but off of the 40-man roster of the Red Sox.
That's amazing.
And I would say that if something similar to what were to happen with Yasmani Tomas, where he were to be put on waivers, I don't think, in talking to people around the league, there's nobody that they think would say, yeah, we want to grab him and pick up the rest of his salary.
Stay well. Safe travels. Thanks again, as always.
Okay, Brad.
Good stuff there. Pedro Gomez. Pedro Gomez on the road, ESPN Baseball Insider Analyst from Chicago. He joins us every week. Eric and I are going to talk about Pedro's comments on the other side. We're going to play a little ping pong on that. And we've got Michael Fabiano here in about 10 minutes, 12 minutes on fantasy football. A few other things on my mind today. There's a story in the New York Times about the water in Rio. Just when you think you've read everything about how bad it's going to be in Rio, I might get to that. It's like a stew down there that people are going to swim in. It's just nasty. That's all on my mind today as we roll on a Wednesday. Sports360AZ.com. We partner the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Our first chat with Michael Fabiano comes up in about 10 minutes. We've been holding off on fantasy football, even though there's 69 million Americans, I read, that are going to play this year. So this will be our first chat of the year. Senior fantasy analyst, NFL Network, he'll join us coming up in about 7-8 minutes. Back to Pedro. So I think Eric and I both kind of had raised eyebrows when I asked Pedro. Here's Pedro from just a couple of minutes ago. In case you missed Pedro Gomez, I asked him directly about the future of Chip Hale as manager of the Diamondbacks. This was just a couple of minutes ago.
Well, there's a faction in the front office that that probably is ready to do it. And my understanding is that, excuse me, La Russa is the one kind of holding things as is right now. But the way the club has been playing now for pretty much a month gives you an indication that things may very well change.
That's good enough there. That's good enough there. You can dive out of it, Jared.
Hours.
You can dive out of it. So 5-19, outscored by 70 runs. The front office, that it's La Russa and Stewart, because I pushed Pedro on it. You can check out the whole interview later on today. It'll be up on a podcast, and this show actually repeats throughout the day here on Sports360AZ.com, also on AZ Central Sports. It repeats that it's Ken Kendrick and Dave and Tony that are trying to stay as is. What'd you take from Pedro as you're hearing it? I mean, you and I have talked to Pedro through the years. Clearly, he knows what's going on.
Yeah, the
inside.
Obvious thing is.
Obviously, he knows what's going
obviously,
on.
Inside. The obvious thing is Chip Hale's going to get fired. Like, that's, you know, when he says hours and days, that means they're pretty far down the road, and the decision, for the most part, has already been made. It's just a question of when are they actually going to make the official decision.
So can Stewart and La Russa, or La Russa and Stewart, hold Ken off to save Chip's job? To me, it sounded like they're in desperation mode to do that. It didn't sound to me like it's done.
No, but the team has been playing so poorly against bad teams.
Oh, no, that's right. Cincinnati, Milwaukee are horrible.
I mean, if Chip Hale could just finish the season playing .500 baseball, he'd be fine. But they're horrible. They're 1-4 on their road trip. They're going to L.A. to play the Dodgers this weekend. That's not going to be fun. So when is – you have to do something at some point if they continue to lose. It's just a question of when.
So Daniel Hudson, who's a name that has been out there that's going to be traded – so he comes in last night, and we all like Daniel Hudson as a guy. It's a performance-based business. You may like me, and if I go out here every day and I can't link a noun and a verb or hold a clear thought, you're not going to like me. And some of you don't like me, but you watch anyways. It's fine. That's part of the deal on this. Daniel Hudson has been very vocal on social media, not in a negative way. He's not one of these guys that goes after people, but he always does this cool thing, slap hands for a victory, and he's very positive and very upbeat. Last night, he comes in the eighth inning in a 4-4 game, and before you know it, he had the gas can and the matches, and he threw them on the fire, and he was out of there, and 5 runs later, the Diamondbacks get drilled again. So he took to Twitter last night. This had some people buzzing after the game was over because he's been so straightforward. And he put up on Twitter, I think we've got it, essentially, he's done. He's not going to do it anymore. And he decided that enough of this. And I don't know if this hurts his trade value. I got it figured out. You know, he's trying to work his way through but not doing this stuff. It's actually not something, you can take it down. It's not something that I care one way or the other about a guy when he wants to bail out on Twitter. It's not that he's probably being ripped to shreds by some people.
I loved it. I think this is an example of how social media can be good, because as a fan, you finally get to see the transparency in an athlete when he does something like what Daniel Hudson did. Of course, he's not. I mean, how we don't see guys go on social media and talk about how awful they are. We see athletes go on there and talk about how great they are.
And how the media is misrepresented.
Oh,
the media
yeah.
misunderstood us. It's the media's fault. It's the media's fault. It's the media's fault.
When
it's always our fault.
When you have an ERA, Brad, of over 15 in the month of July before he pitched last night, so I can't imagine what it is now. And again, Daniel Hudson, easy to like, and for the most part has been a really good pitcher when healthy. But he's just in a funk, just like the rest of the team.
Change of scenery.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be a change of scenery guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's overcome a lot, and he's still trying to do his thing. So that caught my eye. There's a piece of video today on the college football front. We've got Fabiano here in about 5 minutes, but I wanted to get to this. It's a piece of video. This is the University of Texas. So ASU and U of A, they're getting ready to start their season. And, of course, every college is going to be excited about the last workouts that they have. This was down at UT. And they released this on their website. What do they call this, Eric? Did you see that?
No, I mean, the first time you sent me this morning, and honestly, when I started watching it, I just kind of chuckled. Just because, I mean, they're not a good football team. They didn't go to a bowl last year. They're getting great recruits, but Charlie Strong is not winning. And if this is the way to build morale and
this gets some fans though really excited.
Sure.
It's behind the it's like the people at ASU asking, well, why aren't you guys doing grass cam? It's grass being put down in Sun Devil Stadium.
Correct.
It's It is. We've done a bunch of stuff on the stadium, but really, get on with your lives. Go on a date. Grass growing on a field, it's going to be there.
And the team building that UT was doing, it's fine. I'm sure it happens at a lot of places.
Sure it does.
But it just kind of made me chuckle, just because Texas has been down for two or three years.
Try longer than that.
Yeah, but I mean, really they down, been, down.
But they've become, you know, we have a Longhorn Network.
Whatever.
You guys have a Longhorn Network, and nothing's gone on there. You have not had great football in a long time.
Play in a big stadium that hasn't been full for quite some time.
Quite some time.
Yeah.
No, that's true. That's true. Pete Carroll got his contract extended. And, of course, up in Seattle, this is being rejoiced and hallelujah because Pete Carroll can do no wrong. And I agree that Pete Carroll has done a great job up in Seattle. Because the Cardinals have made it such a big deal, from my point of view, that they have the superior organization to Seattle and that they've got it figured out here in Arizona more than they do in Seattle. I don't want to say that there's a lack of respect, but the Cardinals are sticking their foot down and saying, we're just as good as the Seahawks. And that's fine. You can say that all you want. Got to prove it. Got to get to the Super Bowl. This has got to be the year. This is a Super Bowl year for the Cardinals. Anything less than a Super Bowl equals, to me, an unsuccessful year. This is not a team that just hopes to make the playoffs. This is a team that has gone out in the offseason and has done some very smart things off the field in terms of player acquisition, in my opinion. In my opinion, there's still a big hit on Carson Palmer away from being in real trouble, but most organizations would feel the same way. Anybody that's going to sit here and tell me that Drew Stanton has got it all figured out, very nice guy. I don't know if he can lead for 12 weeks. None of us know. They don't know. So, you know, when the Seahawks go out and they take care of Pete Carroll, of course, the question I get is, have the Cardinals done enough for Bruce Arians? That's another discussion for another day because I got Michael Fabiano coming up next. I didn't even get to Bubba Watson was talking about how his year hasn't been that bad. He only has one win less than Jordan Spieth. Like, come on. They have a major tomorrow. You don't need to compare yourself to Jordan Spieth. And Mickelson played with Spieth yesterday. I would have liked to have heard that conversation. Michael Fabiano's next. Fantasy football, all things around the fantasy football front from the NFL Network's senior fantasy analyst. That's on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmatt. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. It is a great Wednesday. Tomorrow, Bill Goodykoontz, Goody at the Movies, will be with us. As always, chief film critic for Gannett. It'll be good to catch up with Bill. I saw Bill last night. I went and saw the new Jason Bourne. And we're going to have Mike Fabiano here in a minute. But I saw Bourne last night. It was a screening. And Goody at the Movies, our weekly guest, Bill will be with us tomorrow. And I will just tell you, it is fabulous as a Bourne guy. As a Bourne guy, it was heart racing, heart palpitations. It was one of those deals. It's kind of like talking to Michael Fabiano every week about fantasy football. It's heart racing. It's heart palpitations. The NFL Network senior fantasy analyst. Are you a Bourne guy, Michael?
You know what? I think I've seen like one of those movies.
Really?
I don't know. I went and saw Star Trek. That's more up my alley, and it was really good. And they had a trailer for Rogue One, which made it even better because I'm a Star Wars dork, you know. So I love those movies.
I don't know if I call you a dork, but I thought
it's okay. Listen, I talk about fantasy football for a living.
Right.
You can go ahead and call me that. It's fine. Everyone else does.
The tribute to Spock's dad to Leonard Nimoy, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a great scene. My wife got choked up. So I'm there last Saturday morning. And then the little tribute of, I thought he drank whiskey and scotch in his locker. I think there was a couple of nice tributes. I'm not going to give it all away, but I thought those were nice. So on the movie,
it was a fun movie. They've done real well with those three sort of rebooted Star Trek movies because I honestly was never a Star Trek fan, ever. I was always Star Wars. And to me, watching a Star Trek movie was kind of like, you know, rooting for the New York Giants as a Cowboys fan. I just not
Can't
doing
do it.
But these last three Star Trek movies are very good.
All right. So for movies, and he's saying to go see it, let's get into this because now we're in the busy season. Most commonly asked question, the Hall of Famer, senior fantasy analyst at the NFL Network, most commonly asked fantasy question you're getting right now every day is?
Honestly, it depends on the day because we've had so much news. Lately, it's been, where would I draft Josh Gordon?
Yep.
A few days ago, it was, would you draft Le'Veon Bell in the second round? It all depends on what's going on, but there's been a lot of questions about Bell, especially now that he's got a four-game suspension looming. We don't know if that's going to be the final number because he's going to appeal, but he was my number one guy. And number one, you're probably looking at, I'd say, a 10 to 15 spot drop.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him going in the middle of the second round. And to be honest with you, based on the average fantasy points that he scored over the last couple of years, I mean, I wouldn't mind taking him at the top of the second round. But that's how I like to roll with star players who maybe I can get a little bit of a discount on, a la Tom Brady and maybe even Josh Gordon late.
Okay, strategy with Brady, because I'm getting a lot of questions about that. What's yours?
Draft him.
Okay.
I will do the same thing that I did last season. I will target Tom Brady. I will keep tabs on probably going into the 7th, 8th, 9th round, where he is, what I have already on my roster. Typically, that's going to be a lot of running backs and wide receivers because I wait on quarterbacks.
Yep.
And if Brady's there, I'm going to grab him. Because, listen, I just did a 12-team mock on NFL.com. Matt Stafford wasn't even drafted. Andy Dalton wasn't even drafted. The quarterback position is loaded. I guarantee you, I could draft Tom Brady and not draft another quarterback and play the matchups for 4 weeks, and I think I'll be okay. So
really?
When I get Brady back,
wow.
I mean, listen, averaged over 21 fantasy points a game last year, second highest scoring player in fantasy, and now he's going to be pissed. Brad.
Yep.
I mean,
no, you're right.
He is not going to be a happy camper. He's going to be motivated to put up some numbers. And he's got some really good weapons and improved weapons over last year. Assuming Julian Edelman's going to be okay from the 2 foot surgeries. You've got Martellus Bennett in there. You've got Chris Hogan, who I think could end up eating up some targets at wide receiver there too. There's a lot of options there for Brady. So I would target him. I would actually target Brady more because of the four-game suspension than I would had he not been suspended, because I wouldn't want to take him in the fourth, fifth, or sixth round, which is where he would go if he wasn't suspended for four games.
No, that makes sense. Michael Fabiano, senior fantasy analyst, NFL Network. You can check out his content on NFL.com, and, of course, you can watch him on the NFL Network. You can follow him on Twitter as well. You and I have this discussion every year, and the mistakes that you say are – taking quarterbacks too early in the draft. So let's move beyond that. Let's just talk specific players. In the mocks that you're seeing, give me a couple guys you're like, I don't get it why these fans are so infatuated with this player, and this is a mistake to take this guy high this year.
Are we talking about quarterback or are
any
we talking
position,
about anybody?
Any position.
There's a lot of risk this year. There's a lot of risk this
why
year.
Why is that? Why
because,
is that?
Well, first off, the running back position was an abject disaster, okay, last season, between injuries and busts.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, okay, Jamaal Charles is coming back from an ACL. You've got Thomas Rawls coming back from an ankle. You've got Deion Lewis coming back from an ACL. Le'Veon Bell's coming back from a knee injury when he actually does come back, which we're not sure when that's going to happen. DeMarco Murray's coming back from a bad season. Melvin Gordon's coming back from a bad season. So there is going to be a drop in terms of ADP among running backs this season because people got burned last year. Eddie Lacy's another one. Now, I've seen Eddie Lacy drafted as high as the end of the second round, and I think that's too high.
Mm.
I love that he got back in shape. He's dropped 20 pounds, which is good. He's back to like 240. And, you know, in his previous 2 years, he was really good from a fantasy perspective, top 10 running back. But I don't know if I trust him enough to take him in the second round. Doug Martin's another guy. Really good last year. In the 2 years where he was expected to do nothing in the NFL, put up 1,400 yards rushing. In the 2 years where people were expecting him to put up numbers, he did nothing. So I'm a little worried about him. To me, that's just a gut instinct for me. If you're taking Doug Martin in the first round or maybe even the top of the second round, I think that could be a little too rich for my blood. Demaryius Thomas is being drafted. He should probably go in the fourth round. and people are still drafting him a bit based on name value, but he is not going to be a number one wide receiver based on fantasy points in Denver with Mark Sanchez throwing him the football. You know I'm not a huge Sanchez fan.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a great guy. In fantasy football, he's not good. He's never had a 1,000-yard wide receiver. He's never had a receiver score more than 8 touchdowns in a season. And that's why Demaryius Thomas, if you take him as a 2 in the 4th round, then I think you're okay. Kelvin Benjamin's another guy. I mean, he's going off the board in the 5th round in a lot of leagues. He had a really good rookie year, but he was really inconsistent. The end numbers were a little deceiving. He just barely broke 1,000 yards. A lot of his production came as a touchdown option for Cam Newton, which he likely will be again. But the Panthers go from having no Benjamin to having Ted Ginn, Devin Funchess, Benjamin, Greg Olson, Philly Brown. So there's a lot of options there for Cam. I think Benjamin might be a tad too high. And to be honest with you, and people are going to yell at me and scream, but
it's fine.
I don't see Rob Gronkowski as a first-round pick. The tight end position is deep now. It's really deep. I would rather draft Ladarius Green in the 8th or 9th round than take Rob Gronkowski in the 1st.
Really?
I would just rather do that because I need to load up on running backs and wide receivers sooner than later. And Gronk is awesome, don't get me wrong. And this doesn't even have anything to do with Tom Brady not being there for 4 games, because Jimmy Garoppolo is no dummy, and I'm sure he's going to be throwing the ball to Gronkowski, especially in the red zone. So I just think that based on where I can get a Gary Barnage or a Delanie Walker or a Darius Green, heck, Kobe Fleener has been drafted late, and I think he's going to catch 70 balls in his sleep. I'd rather get guys late at that position than go after Gronkowski. And speaking of tight ends, Jordan Reed's another guy. I mean, people are picking him in the 4th or 5th round. He was awesome at the second half of last season, but he's never been durable. So, heck, if he stays healthy for 14 games, Jordan Reed can put up some numbers, but he's never been a durable player. And Washington also added Josh Doctson in the draft. He's definitely a guy who's got some prowess in the red zone. And you've got Pierre Garçon, you've got DeSean Jackson. There's some mouths to feed in that offense in the passing game. So I think people need to tap the brakes a bit on Jordan Reed. I mean, to me, he's like a 6th-round pick. But I'm a little pessimistic on him just because he's been so prone to injuries.
You're on fire today. I'm just letting you go here. Michael Fabiano.
Well, this is the first time we've spoken in a while.
I know. It's fine.
So, I got to bring it here, pal.
No, I've got to bring it.
I'm trying to bring it.
You don't need to try. I've got to try. Okay. Senior fantasy analyst, NFL Network. Check out his content, NFL.com. And also on the NFL Network and on Twitter. Let me just zip through some questions of players real quick, and I'll let you go.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of questions today about Anquan Boldin in Detroit. Where do you come down on Anquan?
Late round pick. You've got Marvin Jones and Golden Tate there. I tweeted out yesterday that I thought Eric Ebron could suffer a little bit, and then he responded and said, "I'll be fine," which I thought was funny. But Bolden goes from like the number one option in San Francisco to potentially the 3rd or 4th in Detroit. So I'm not expecting a whole lot. I mean, maybe you get 50 catches out of him.
Some quarterback questions that were sent in: Osweiler or Rivers?
Oh, Rivers. Rivers without question. The Chargers throw the ball 600 times a year.
Yeah.
And Rivers is a guy, if you look at the last couple of seasons, where he starts off hot, and everyone who drafted him in the 12th round are like, "Look at me, I got Philip Rivers." And then as the season wears on, his numbers sort of become a little bit less consistent. So Rivers is a guy that I would draft and potentially try and sell high on if he continues that trend of starting the season hot. But I certainly like him more than Osweiler.
Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr.
Oh, is that a serious question?
That's what was sent in. Just
Is it Derek Carr or Aaron Rodgers' brother?
Yeah, no kidding, right? How about that story?
No, it's Aaron Rodgers all day long.
I
like Derek Carr. Don't get me wrong. Derek Carr, I think, heck, his ADP is around 12 right now. I mean, this is a guy who had 32 touchdown passes last season. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is on 2 or 3 higher levels than D.C.
Okay, before you go, Cardinals, let's start with David Johnson. He's got to be rising up your board in a hurry, right?
Yeah, you know what? They had a screening here in L.A. For the All or Nothing series on Amazon, and I got a chance to meet David, and he is such a nice dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, so easy to root for. And, you know, now I'm texting him because I'm telling him, hey, man, you know, we're going to be talking about you on the show tonight. Hey, dude, you're like a top five pick in fantasy.
Wow.
And, you know, he appreciates it for sure. I don't know if he grasps the whole fantasy concept, but he knows how popular it is. If you look at the numbers he put up once he took over for Chris Johnson, I mean, they were great. He had that one huge 40-point game against Philadelphia, so the numbers might be a little bit skewed, but he was very good, and Bruce Arians is one of my favorite coaches because he doesn't mess around with our fantasy backfields. He likes to use one running back. So David Johnson is a first-round pick. I know there's a little risk involved because, well, he's got a small sample size, but I was impressed with that sample size.
I'll let you go off that. As always, appreciate the time. Good to catch up with you. We'll talk soon.
All right, pal. Take
care. Stay aware. There's Michael Fabiano, Senior Fantasy Analyst, NFL Network. NFL.com. You can check out his content on Twitter. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now at Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Things on the high school, college, pro front, things that we see, a little bit different, kind of like Sprouts and Whole Foods in a world of Walmart. That's how I like to phrase it. Thanks for being with us.